Hi, everybody out there. Well, happy Father's Day. I hope that all the men listening are feeling their greatness, feeling their sense of possibility and future, getting into their own power, which I imagine at some extent has to do with part of their feminine side. Anyway, we're going to talk tonight with Gary Quinn. I thought this would be good to do on Father's Day because he'll be basically talking with us about how to gain clarity in our lives and use our own power to heal the patterns and the habits and kind of dealing with the pain from the past, integrating the steps that will give us the insight to open our mind and spirits. In other words, this is your chance, listening to Gary Quinn, to say yes to prosperous and happy living now. And he's going to help us with the techniques to awaken ourselves to be more positive and confident and blissful. I think a lot of the men out there with what's going on in the world will really need this, and certainly the mothers and wives and daughters will too. But, you know, when the fathers and men in our lives are happy, we are happier. So, welcome, Gary. It's great to have you back again, and happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you for always supporting what I do, because I always support you in everything you do, because I think you're fantastic, and I know your listeners are truly blessed to have the opportunity to listen to you every week.
Well, I think what you're doing, because we've talked a little bit about how you're aligning your message with using what you're saying in your own life, and that's the only way it really works, isn't it?
Exactly, because, you know, everybody has a gift, everybody has a passion, and, you know, the catalyst for this work was me just tuning into the truth, and by giving yourself permission and experiencing your greatness, I myself have become a catalyst working with some high spiritual teachers that have aligned with me, because this is the opportunity to celebrate life and love for everyone, not just some people. It's for everyone.
Gary, do you think that some of these times that we're going through now, we should really welcome them? Because a lot of people are freaking out. A lot of people are getting very concerned about their own economic future.
Definitely. I mean, right now, Shirley, what's going on in the world is, it's almost like the 11th hour. It's like everything is shifting so fast, and things are being taken away. People are leaving the planet. Jobs are being taken away. But in that sense, that's the time for healing, for people to really see that this is transformation. This is the gift that we've been given by staying in alignment, for us to now take the action and make a difference, not just to say, what's going to happen? Where are we going to go? Somebody else is going to do it for me. Mm-hmm. No, each individual has to take that responsibility right now and say, I'm inspired to move on. And we all have some people that inspire us. And I like to ask people, you know, whether it be a Socrates, a Buddha, a Kuan Yin, or whoever, that one person who's really been the catalyst, we choose that person, but we move on to the next level and say, okay, I'm going to make a difference, just as you've made a difference, Shirley. And it's been interesting. In the last 2 weeks since I knew I was going to be doing your show, mm-hmm. three opportunities for your greatness have come in. I was with an author friend of mine from Australia who had an interview at the Bodhi Tree, and she asked them a question, and she said, what has been the catalyst for the Bodhi Tree to really have a change of heart? And you know what he said, the owner? He said, Shirley MacLaine. Mm-hmm. He said, out on a limb was our catalyst that put us in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. I then was at the BEA, and actually I'm walking down Simon & Schuster. I see your picture with your little doggy. And I go up to the woman, and I said, where is that book? And she says, well, that's Shirley's new book.
Now.
I said, tell me what it is. She said, it's Out on a Leash.
Yeah.
And I said, when is it coming out? I said, this is going to be fantastic. I'm doing her show. I'm going to tell her. And she says, well, it looks like it's going to be a great book. We're getting great response. And I said, well, I know that I need to be a catalyst to tell people about this book, and I'm going to tell her that the response was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. I think Terry must have read my mind hearing you talk about it. That's when she started to bark just now.
Yeah, there she is. She got it. Terry looks fantastic.
Yeah, it'll be out in October, and I'm finishing up my my first draft. My editor and I are working on it now, and I'm finding, of course, you will explain to us what your higher teachers are, but she's been the biggest and greatest and most profound teacher I've ever had.
Well, that's what's so interesting about it. It can come from any source, Shirley. And for your listeners, you know, whether it be a father, a mother, a teacher, your grade school teacher, or whatever, an animal can tune into that higher energy that brings that source of comfort or that alignment, and your little dog has opened up an energy for you that you have this bond with her, and it's an energy that people have to find that within, not to be looking outside of them, but to be living their minds or their dreams are there. So it's almost like you have to be dare to be great in life, and in that life experience, your greatness is meaning that Shirley MacLaine is making a difference in the world. You are a catalyst. That if I said to you, Shirley, who inspires you, who would you say?
I've had many inspirators, but I would say right now who inspires me the most is Terry.
Right.
And I'll have to learn to explain that when I get out there after we get through with Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
I'll have to really explain what I mean by that and what it means to take basically a lot of time off, which I've done in the last year or two, and get in touch with nature and with trees and insects and flowers and plants and the seasons. And my little dog sort of guides me through it. And I'm experiencing things where I think she enters my dreams.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Yeah. Tell us now, Gary, getting back to yours, because we'll talk about Terry a little later if you want to again. But
okay.
I'd like to talk about the CD because it's quite wonderful. Tell the listeners what does greatness mean?
Okay. Greatness is the awareness of you owning it and being able to say, I am worth it. Meaning that we get out of the fear, we get out of the old patterns, which are deeply entrenched in all of us, whether, you know, growing up or dealing with a marriage or dealing with something that shifted us, but it brought us to this level. It's knowing that greatness is a part of you that you need to acknowledge, that you need to celebrate. So as soon as you step one and say, you know, the time is now to really own my greatness and saying, you know what, out with the old and keep moving forward, because there is no timeouts in life.
Yeah, that's why I like that this CD and what we're talking about tonight on Father's Day is really a giving up of the old, because so much of what we've relied upon in the past is not working anymore.
Exactly. So we've got to find that sense of what is working for me. Everybody wants to be a success, but success is when you come from the place of you already are success. And what does success mean? It can mean money, it can mean fame, and none of that matters in the sense of once you align with that spiritual truth, the power of that time of yourself is important to acknowledge who you are, what makes you tick, and what is your passion in life. If you don't have a passion, you really don't have anywhere to go in really becoming who you are. So this CD is about you really getting clear on becoming who you are and knowing that opportunity is to start to get into your inner self, whether that's meditation, body, mind, spirit, health, whatever it takes to really start to acknowledge that. That is the step one first, to say, okay, I have this fear about this one situation, or I have this anger or resentment, or this person never did right by me, or that relationship didn't do this. As soon as you acknowledge that, Shirley, and all your listeners have had, everybody's had something, we all have baggage.
Sure.
And as soon as you see that is a part of the problem that we want to change, it's think of yourself as the computer. I'm giving you a brand new program to plug into to download into your computer. So everything that hasn't worked up until this level, we're getting rid of, meaning it hasn't worked. The world is changing. People are, corporations are shifting. Everything seems to be in complete chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is transformation, meaning that the consciousness had to shift. So the spiritual energy, I mean, I recently did a corporate event yesterday, and the people were so wonderful because they were so willing and so open to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked. Because I was going, wow, this is really meaning something. I'm really helping them on some level, because everybody in all levels wants to change. We all want to be the best that we can. And in experiencing your greatness, it's about, now is the time, and I use the analogy that everybody is royalty. You know, everybody has been knighted today, and all your listeners have the opportunity to shift whatever's going on, whether it be health, whether it be the worst job, whether they want more money. It's all about aligning to your belief system, that your belief system is what you're really creating. So your thoughts need to be really high and attuned. And the bad habits are what keeps us in the ditches so that we can't change.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are going to the necessity for suffering and aligning themselves with that philosophy because of Jesus. I wanted to bring up Larry King.
Yes.
A few days ago had an interview with Bob Jones from Bob Jones University.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gary, it was interesting because he believes the Bible literally.
Right.
And he was not only talking about giving up yourself for Christ and you would not make it to heaven or see the promised land unless you believed in Christ. I don't know what that means for the other 3 billion people in the world. But one of the things he said, and this gets back to your book, May the Angels Be With You. He was talking about how he believed that dark angels, I don't know if he used that word, I've forgotten the word he used, but that there are dark forces actually in our governments, in our corporations, manipulating the people. Well, how would you speak to that?
You know, I know that, you know, people, if you go through history, there's fallen angels, and that can be the devil.
He was talking about devils, and he was talking about satanic forces.
And sure, that does exist, and I know that on some level that does exist in the world. We'd be foolish not to say that, oh, everything is Pollyanna, peachy keen.
Yeah, but are the devils the ones rattling it around in our own hearts? Or are they, because that's what Gandhi believed.
Well, I think what that specific case is that each individual chooses to go to the light side or the dark side. So in that sense, in the government, in areas around government or high-profile work or whatever it is in the country, or in the world, rather, that those devils do exist within all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And those devils come out because on some level there's the good side and there's the bad side of everybody.
So,
and
Gary, would you say that the devils then that are rattling around inside all of us, which really restrict our growth and our being masters of ourselves and our own greatness, would you say most of that is coming from our childhoods? Or would you say that a lot of it is coming from our karmic past and our soul memory?
I would say that a lot of it is coming through the karmic connection that we are at that moment experiencing, and that they're following that energy that they may not even know why they're doing it. And I believe that a lot of people can, I'm not saying fight it, but they can change it. In other words,
take responsibility for it.
Right, and to really say, you know what, I've been doing bad work for 10 years with these people, but I'm going to change the government and I'm going to implement this new energy and I'm going to show up in a different path. You know, on some level, maybe that lesson for them or that individual was that they needed to be in that darkness. You know, I believe without lightness, you know, with lightness, you must have darkness.
Yeah, the darker, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow.
Sure, because anything you're overcoming, you want to get into the light, or you want to change or heal. And I believe that everybody has that light side or that energy of really owning your truth about you. But most people are afraid to align with it because it's almost like they're feeling naked.
Well, and they're feeling victimized, and they need to say they have permission to move into the light.
Correct, because in what you said earlier, the fear factor or the I need to suffer, I need to, like, you know, be on the on the dole, or I need to, you know, be in this horrible relationship, or I need to, you know, the mind is a powerful thing, and the, you know, most people value their net worth or how they feel by their bank account. So if they're feeling in this poverty victim level, and they may choose that, might need to be where they need to be in their mindset to be a victim, but that is a choice.
Yeah, that's the way they choose to learn, that they don't have to be if they get tired enough of it.
Exactly, and usually change, people either go because they're kicking or screaming, or they've had enough, or they decide that they need to identify with something else, or they've had it. You know, there's lots of ways that they can change. It's that you must have to, you know, what I'm trying to teach people is that you must choose to be rich in your mind and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
The rest will follow if they just trust that the spirit is the essence of who you are, not your bank account or your checkbook.
And Gary, would you still recommend to people, let's say on this Father's Day, some man comes home, he's lost his job, he's been 86'd from his livelihood, his family is in chaos, he doesn't know how to pay the bills. Now that's a very severe low. How does he then get in touch with what would help him get into the light instead of staying in the low?
Okay, perfect example, because I had a client a couple of weeks ago this happened to, and he was in complete disarray, and I said to him, remember, your source is you. You are the company, not whatever came in. But he's going, how am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to pay the family? How am I going to... All the hows and the whys started to eat him up so much he could not even get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when a person is in that state, that is the time to start to trust it, to live it, but to really take the action in saying, okay, I'm going to do whatever I need to do, whether he needs to align himself as, this is the trust factor and the faith factor, that one has to really get out there and believe it. When it's the bottom of the barrel and there's no money and they don't know how they're going to pay the bills, the source is not the company. The source is not the bank. The source is the universe of him at that moment. He has to have a transformation. And that man of the house or that person who's the sole responsibility is for him to really tune into that energy and trust, and the universe will provide. Because when people really get out of all the daily stuff, you know, it's amazing. Once you really start working in this energy, Shirley, people start to see transformation because they're not in that fear, and I call it they're in that level of that intensity of the zone of connecting to that opportunity where it's almost magic.
Mm-hmm.
It is magic.
So it's there all the time. It's just trusting. So we're really talking about a basic emotional resistance to trust here.
Sure, because we all want to create the perfect reality, but if things, you know, we're so like whatever's happening in the universe, we're so mesmerized, or if something doesn't go our way, all of a sudden we shut down or we get scared. Or, I mean, you know, but in those moments, that's where you must really stay in the work. And the work is you. You know, I'm not trying to create a new religion. You know, religion may be great for some people, but it's the spiritual entity that's within overwhelming. All I'm saying is that the energy flows through us every day.
Well, would you say then, Gary, to that man, trust your angels and guides? Would you? Because a lot of people need to have something outside of themselves that inspires the trust about themselves.
If they need to tune in to an angel or guide, he must go there and do it, or listen, or change. If he needs to light candles, if he needs to meditate, whatever he needs to do to get to that alignment place, that will give him that power or source.
Now, how does he take the time in the chaos of his life and family to do that?
Okay, this is where it's an action item immediately. He has to, you know, when there's an emotional charge of an energy and a desire that is so strong that, you know, usually at the end of the there was a situation of a woman I know that she used to do parachute jumping. And this is an example of one day she's out parachute jumping, and as she's jumping, not very high, but it's high, her parachute doesn't open.
Whoa!
And she's going down and no parachute, and the second parachute that's the one that's supposed to save her does not open either. And she, at that moment in time, it was in Florida, she said, "I am not willing to die. I have too much to live for. I am saved now." Now, at that moment in time, that energy was in such a state of chaos that she placed the demand was so powerful because she did not want to die. And luckily, she went into a bed of mud, marsh, that she fell into. You know, she could have hit a freeway or a highway, but she fell in this puddle of, it was not a puddle, it was like quicksand, but she had a little bruise on her leg. She did not break anything, but she lived to tell about this. And at that moment in time, you're in a state of complete trust, the source, the universe. You know, it's the end hour, and that's when you must say, "I'm not willing to do this," or "I want this," or "This is what I want." And, you know, it's the manifestation of, you know, that's why I say people manifest on so many little levels. Now, if they would just trust it wholeheartedly and completely, they could manifest whatever they want in life. And anything, whether it's money, you know, we the state of consciousness, poverty is a state of mind.
Right.
So if you're in that consciousness, that's where you are, and that's where you stay. And everybody wants to be loved or loving. And the love comes from you loving yourself and really giving yourself that permission to become who you are and to be your great person that you can say, you know what, that person is going to go out and be the head of a company. You know, the gentleman who lost his job or whatever, he has to go out there no matter what, and be in that end result that he is a worthy corporate leader working at a financial institution that supports his family and whatever he needs to do. All I'm saying is that fear mode cannot go there.
Well, sometimes when that one door closes, another huge one opens, and sometimes people need to see that as an opportunity to celebrate a new kind of creativity, wouldn't you say?
But at that moment, they don't see that. They're in total fear going, "Oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that?" Now, the universe supports us and takes us to the next level on every step of our lives, whether that be work, relationship, aligning you with the right jobs, the right teachers. All I'm saying is that this is the school of life.
Yeah.
And every day we learn something. Every day I learn something. I learn something just in everything I do. I learn something from talking to you. Mm-hmm. I learn something from talking to the postman. I go out and I talk to people. You know, all I'm saying is that if we're open to that opportunity, we can learn from everything in life. You could learn from, you know, animals, like you said. You know, you look at trees. You see how amazing the reproductive system is in our society, in the world, and how it runs, and how everything seems to flow. But then, when the ego steps in, that's when the trouble begins, because people start to say, "I want more."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not giving you this because I want more. Not knowing that everybody can have as much as they want, but But the mind says, no, I want this, and that person can't have that.
So you're talking about a degree of deservability that you feel is yours.
Exactly. And some people may have to go through a tough childhood. You know, we pick our way, you know, it's almost like we pick our movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie that we play, we can continue to be in the drama, we can continue to be in the thriller, or we can say, wow, I'm in a romance story, or I'm in a action film. So our lives are in that mindset, and the casts are always, we're pulling in new people, we're meeting new people, we're, you know, conversing with people, we're exchanging money, money is energy. Mm-hmm. So that fear needs to not be present. So that's why I say, and it all goes back down to, are we living in fear? Or are we living in love?
Mm-hmm.
And when you experience your greatness, everything you do comes from love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is the base of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Love lifts you up where you belong.
So then we really have to learn to sculpt our emotions, because I guess from the beginning of time we've been taught to fear. Does that come from survival instincts? What's that all about, that we're still dealing with it? Then the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Well, I think the emotion brings on a lot of thoughts and ideas, and the fear is part of, you know, we've been almost taught that is where you need to go instead of taking the higher route in life. And I feel like the fear, I mean, there's not a lot of spiritual truth running rampant every day in life. It's a fear-based world that we're constantly being bombarded by, and that mind in our computer of our brain is constantly getting images from everything. And that's why I say you really have to work at not being clear on what you want, because you got to stay in the spiritual. You must stay in the spiritual zone. And just
tell me, Gary, what would you recommend in relation to watching television and what's happening in the world? Is that called denial if you say turn the set off?
Well, I would say you can, because then people say, oh, you don't read the newspaper, you don't know what's going on in the world. Okay, I feel like if you need to know what's going on in the world, you read the newspaper, you watch the news, but you also have to have a balance of educating yourself in the spiritual realm so that you don't have to be in that mindset where every day you're in that.
Use these negative images coming across the news to motivate you into a deeper level of understanding what you're capable of.
Exactly, because then you don't know what you're about, and the creativity that lies within becomes blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, if you ask them what they want or what they would like to do, they'll say, I don't know. Or they can't understand why, well, I wasn't born into this situation, so I guess I can't have it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are born into the life we choose to inhabit. And within that birth experience, we learn about things that we haven't cleared up. I always have to go to some of the soul's traumas. You know, the old Hindus used to call it samskara. It means soul scar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at your soul scar that is bubbling up every now and then, it's almost like you create the event from which to learn by, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I feel like that soul, you know, the soul has a purpose, and we have to acknowledge that or celebrate that in order to move forward and to just even to balance the soul. Because when the body is finished and the soul moves on, the life continues through the soul. And I know that you've been all over the world and you've seen different religions and you've really mastered and seen where that whole fits into the perspective. What do you feel that the soul needs to really move forward? What's the nourishment that you've learned in your travels or seen?
Well, I've seen so much trauma and so much tragedy as well as such beauty. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, well, the third dimensional experience is not something a soul elects to have without that trauma and tragedy, because those within those experiences are the lessons. So therefore, anything that I see, and I'm not only horrified, but it makes me very sad. I have to turn off things that I won't go to those movies. I won't look at those television shows.
Mm-hmm.
But in my own life, when things happen, people close and dear to me, and et cetera, or even animals, or I mean, the other night I had to smack a moth, and it brought tears to my eyes because mm-hmm. the moth was flying in my face, and, you know, I killed it. And I thought, I was crestfallen. But then I look at the moth kind of stands for death,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I don't want... Let that moth go on to another level of understanding in moth kingdom.
Right, exactly.
But the whole world now is in such chaos, as you put it, but chaos is the prelude to transformation, and I'm looking at everything as though it's a great schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense of how we deal with... I think it all begins at home, and the long 6 million mile journey begins with the first step. So we have to do that. And the whole feeling of being victimized is something, as you put, we wrote that in our own play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the idea of getting in touch with your greatness, and everybody is equally great.
Exactly. I mean, that's why people keep thinking that, you know, it's interesting. I asked in the class the other day, I said, how many of you think you're great? And half of the room was embarrassed, and maybe five people put their hand up.
Oh, really?
And I said, wait a minute. I said, you all need to know that you are great. I said, and I'm not leaving here today until you believe it. And it's transformation of that.
Well, how do they carry that belief that you probably got everybody to understand during that time you were with them? How do they sustain it, Gary?
Well, I think that they have this belief system that nobody ever gave them the permission to be great, or to say, you know what, you can do anything you want, you're fantastic, look how beautiful you are, look at your shining star. I said, all of you here today are stars. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I even made one woman come down out of the audience, and I said, you are a star, and you need to act as if. And I said to you, what is your biggest heart's desire? And she said, I want to start a nonprofit organization to help kids and people. I said, then you need to organize it. You need to act as if. You need to move in those particulars no matter what you need to do. If I told you in 3 months you were going to Washington, D.C. to do that, and I gave you $100,000 check tomorrow to start this, you would be acting different. She said, yes, I would. I would be doing that. I said, well, you have my permission. This is where you need to go because it's happening. Now, as soon as people know that when their belief system is that we can choose to start all over at any moment.
Well, that's what other people hear from you in your energetic way of interrelating.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the belief you have in yourself, and that's the story of so many successful people, if we're talking about success here.
Well, I think that we're all vehicles, and we're all, you know, it's interesting. In the last couple of weeks, I've met and I've worked with a lot of different so-called high profile. You know, I always feel like I'm the new kid on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is, you know, they've been doing this for 20 years as teachers, and everybody's seen their number one hit books, these people. And, you know, I just go into that seminar or that meeting with that person as me. I'm not trying to put on airs. And I think part of the problem is a lot of these people in life, they start to believe that they're some special power, meaning, and I'm not saying that that's not who they are, their greatness is that, but they get confused with the ego and the fame, so they lose whatever the truth or the message that they needed to get to those people is about.
Yeah, I find that in my world, so many successful people, underneath their profound feelings are the feelings of undeservability. So in other words, it's much easier to be a failure because that way you can stay a victim.
And you can blame everybody.
That's right. And to be a success, it's a very difficult task because then you do feel you have to deserve it. If you want to say being a star, fine. But it resonates to what was motivating you in the first place, which is usually you didn't have enough love in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore you get the adulation of success, and then you have to figure out, the motivation is that you've been afraid you were nothing, now you become something, and then that rears its head again.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you experienced it, when you first started to shift your thought pattern and started to live in the spiritual world,
yeah.
Did people treat you different, or those people who knew your greatness way back stayed almost connected?
Well, I had a lot of people who said, oh, you're going to ruin your career, your image, your life. And I said, well, this is my life.
Right.
And I truly believe it. Even Mike Wallace, whenever we do an interview, says, my goodness, I believe everything she's saying, even for him, he said he believed it. And then he goes away and thinks about it and says, well, I don't know if that makes any sense. So he goes back to his, and I love the guy. I think he's terrific, one of the best journalists we've got. And then he goes back to being the rake mucker is his job.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard some of the jokes made about me, the only thing I cared about was whether they were funny.
Mm-hmm.
If Jay Leno or Letterman or any of those folks, anybody, made jokes about me and my books, if the punchline wasn't funny, that's the only thing that made me upset.
Right.
And so then their writers started calling me.
Right.
How do we tell a Shirley MacLaine joke and make it work?
Right.
Because
right.
A lot of them didn't have any kind of education in metaphysics and somewhere, or spirituality. So somewhere underneath, the whole human race is an understanding of these principles. And when you tell a joke that acknowledges those principles, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
If the joke is based on the truth of that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, it's not funny. And that's been the hardest thing for me. But I have not, I thought they were all rather good-natured jokes. I never thought, I know one guy wrote a book called Out on a Broken Limb.
I love it.
And I invited him to my seminar.
Perfect.
And he was a very nice guy, and I don't think he got it.
Right.
Because what his position in life is, it's like that the Amazing Randy always gets on and debunks any kind of psychic or any kind of spiritual truth by saying they only do it for the money and they don't have any proof.
Right.
Well, that's his job.
Exactly.
He has to
stay in that consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found, though, that what's happening in the world, Shirley, and that's why I'm such a big supporter of so many light workers, and even people, you know, there was a young kid that came to me about 2 months ago, and I did everything I could to support this guy to say, you know what, you need to go out there and do this to help people. And within a month, he was already talking to people in seminars, and it's like, I feel like sometimes I want to be this person who can light up their moment and send them off to spiritual school and put them out there in the field so that there'll be more light workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people are so afraid to stand in that light because their light is going to be snuffed out. And I just say the way it is. What I see, I say. And if people don't like it, well, too bad. It's
well,
not
whenever
my problem.
Another person is challenged by their own greatness, they'll give you all the reasons why you're wrong.
Sure, sure.
Let me
or
ask
they'll
you
try
a question,
to attack
Gary.
You in some way. And I'm sure they've attacked you about everything.
I never have seen it as an attack. Isn't that interesting? And people sometimes say to me, why don't you understand you're being attacked? Well, I don't perceive it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great that you've been able to, like, turn it around and say, you know what, that's just an attitude that he took or she took, or it's not my stuff.
Well, everything is, we are, We are victims of the way we see the world,
mm-hmm.
instead of victims of the world we see.
Right, exactly.
What would you say, because you've been an advisor to a lot of well-successed people, Oscar winners and Grammy winners and all that, what would you say these days to Martha Stewart?
I would say that she needs to stand in her truth and own up to everything and just be... not come off as some facade, and really she needs to be, you know, I feel like there's a lot of deceit in herself and there's a lot of pain in there, and I feel like if she just let go of everything and stop trying to manipulate her life and just be who she is, that she wouldn't have to put on all this stuff that seems to just be downloading on her. I really feel that this is her spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm. That it could be.
And I feel like she can either choose to stay in the light or stay in the dark, as we all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people are experiencing that right now in all facets of the world. You know, they're either, you know, and look at the whole world, what's been going on this year since the last time we talked. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's been one roller coaster of events happening every month or something.
Yeah, and we should really talk a little bit about this fear factor, because since 9/11, so many people are directing and sculpting their lives according to safety, according to fear. So Homeland Security is really not so much the answer as it is each individual's attitude toward fear. And do you agree that fear is the opposite of love?
Yes, because mm-hmm. without fear there is no love. But it's the choice that you can make and say, I'm not going to fill my house with batteries and have a bunker. And you know, I was like appalled when a friend said, are you going to buy duct tape and plastic to put in your windows? I go, what are you talking about? You know, it's like it's running rampant out there, and I have to like align people to say, you know what, you need to live in your truth. You need to connect with your people, with your friends, with whoever, to instill, to get out of that fear, because, you know, it flows out every day, this fear, and the fear becomes worldwide because, you know, and I know the media has some great things to say, but sometimes they just seem to harp on it.
Well, they get ratings that way because it looks, you know, it's very interesting to see how tabloid journalism has reached such a height, because it's usually about famous and successful people, and when it happens, when these things happen to somebody who's got a lot, then the other fellow hearing it says, oh, well, if it can happen to them, then I understand myself a little bit more. But that also can make them more afraid, because if it can happen to somebody who really knows or seems to know what they're doing with their life,
right,
the person who is in chaos then spirals down into fear.
Right.
How would you deal with young people in relation to this?
Well, I think young people are so susceptible, and sometimes young people have this energy like they're fearless, and they seem like nothing can hurt them, and sometimes that's good, but sometimes they need to get a reality check to know that they do need to have responsibility, and they do need to, you know, that's why I say it starts in the family unit. It
mm-hmm.
starts at home, that parents need to really align with their children to really acknowledge them and give them their greatness, and for them to really believe in themselves at home, not to say, I'm going to leave you with the babysitter and here's $5 and I'm going out and you're going to be left with frozen dinner and something. It's about taking the time with that child and say, you know what, I'm going to give you some paints. Let's try to work together. I'm going to take you to a concert. You know, it's that home unit that has been so disrupted.
But Gary, a lot of people don't have time for that. There's husbands and wives both working jobs simultaneously, and they can't afford not to. Are you saying one of them should take off?
Well,
what are you saying
that they
here?
Need
I mean,
to
let's
find,
get realistic.
You know, we have choices in life. They can, you know, take off a Saturday and say, I'm going to spend 2 hours with my kid, or I'm going to take them to the movies or to a play, or I'm going to pick them up at karate class and take them to, you know, just the two of them. You know, we have choices, and I think people have an easy way out. They want the fast food, you know, lifestyle where I've got to go to this, and you know, they get selfish, and, you know, love is loving everything and everyone at home, and even if it's your children or your animals, you know, you don't want to neglect them on any level, and it's got to be a balance. And I'm not saying they have to take off 3 days and spend every hour with a kid and spoil them rotten. I'm saying that they have to acknowledge them and say to the kid or the child, you know what, you do mean a lot to me. You're fantastic. I know your grades are not the best, but what can I do to support that? Do you need a tutor? Can I get you some tapes, some classroom extra hours? It's that inspiration. It's almost like the role you played as Madame Zazutska.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you gave that inspiration to that child, and you move that energy where, you know, people have to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not enough. And that's why I say everything starts in our backyards.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who are involved with families that really they should move away from, too.
Sure, they may be toxic.
I mean, sometimes if it gets too negative, they need to have permission to say, "This, I don't need this anymore."
And that's a point that's well taken, in that you have to now say there's boundaries. I know when I'm with my daughter or my son that one thing they may say really bugs me. I can't go there. Now, you need to know that there's an agreement that, okay, I'm going to spend Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to tell her I'm going to be there, but then she's going to say that thing, or that husband's going to say that, and that's going to just send me to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to make an agreement that, you know...
They have to get these ground rules settled within the family.
Sure, and once you get clear on that, it's almost like you're making contracts with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask yourself those questions, is that active action item or the way I speak going to put me in the good light or the bad light? What are the consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Is that opportunity to go back to that gentleman who lost his job and can't pay the bills and his family has 1 month rent before they're out on the street?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to ask those questions himself and say, is this new opportunity the wise situation for me? What do I need to do to become that headhunter or get a job or whatever? It's almost like they need to, you know, once they give themselves the permission to move forward, and, you know, sometimes people come to see me at a seminar, Shirley, just that one little hit that I give them about that permission item transforms their lives.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman last year, perfect example. I was in Sun Valley, Idaho, doing a seminar with Deepak Chopra, and I went into the audience. I picked this one. Sometimes I go to the audiences, and I pick one person, and I know she or he needs what I need to give them, and I made this woman stand up, and I said, Connie, what is it that you're not having in your life? And you know what she said? She said, love. And I said, okay, everybody, I want you to align with Connie, and I said, everybody must say we love you 3 times. And so when I said to Connie, from now on, when anybody sees this woman, I said, I want you to say, who are you? And Connie, what do you say? She says, I'm Connie, and I'm love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within 3 days, Shirley, this woman had transformed the energy. Her lights were on, and everybody came up to me saying, what did you do to this woman? I said, I didn't do anything. I gave her the permission to live. I gave her the permission to love. And her true purpose is she started, and I saw her like 3 weeks ago in Sun Valley again with Debbie Ford. I did an event there. And she herself is now hosting the first annual wellness festival in Jackson Hole with Don Miguel Ruiz and Deepak. And she says, and I want you there, Gary, because she did not know what her true purpose was. She has single-handedly put this whole thing together, and you should have seen her today. I mean, this last time I was there, Shirley, a different woman. She was alive. She was buzzing. I was so proud of her.
And so you think everybody, that the task then for everyone is to get in alignment with their purpose.
Exactly. And how do you get the purpose? It's to stand in that, now's the time to take the action to find out. whatever you need to do. You know, what do people do for a paycheck? If they don't have a job, what true purpose comes up? They know they need to make action choices and figure out what it is that they need to do. Then they need to become who they are. Once they see, okay, I need to be an executive, I need to be a dancer, I need to be a singer, I'm going to move in that energy. Then they create the life by going out there and being it, trusting it, expecting it, and then opening up to that, receiving that magic that I call that spiritual zone of being in that place of knowing. And
tell
when
us
you
how
do
you
that,
would recommend people get in touch with their angels.
Sure. Angels are just messengers. You know, you can receive, we're bombarded with messages every day. It's either through, you know, clairvoyant messages, sight, energy, whatever it is that we're hearing.
Synchronicity, all the little events that happen in our lives.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're all messages. Messages are just guided information. And see, as soon as you open up to all that, your life is filled with amazing greatness, and you become who you are and who you really want to be. You know, but all
what happens, Gary, with some of the people that you work with, you know, with any kind of map face, you change one bit of the topography and everything else changes. What happens with these people who change their lives and then the rest of the family or friends say, well, what happened to them?
They're either taken away from that situation, meaning there's boundaries with that relationship, or their families become so happy for them, or that they find their purpose and they say, you know what, I've been living my life for those people or those family members. They become their own person. So they really become owning the tools that they are about that get them to the next level to celebrate their life. And that's the bottom line, is that celebration begins when you give yourself the permission. And when you give yourself that permission, everything flows. But I want people to start to acknowledge what it is that's their fear. As soon as you acknowledge it, you get off of it, but you start to take the action items which support your greatness, that support your living, which support loving, which support you moving to the next level, not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, right now is the time. This is it. This minute we have right now on the phone is it. Right now we make that conscious living to know that we're all perfect and we're all great. You know, you can, you know, lose weight, you can have your teeth fixed, you can have your hair done, but it doesn't make you inside who you really are. Who you are inside is the spirit. It's the level of accomplishment within your own lessons and your growth.
Yeah, and to do that without a kind of imposed ego is the trick, isn't it?
That's the trick. You said it right there. That's the trick. So many people are on the right path. When the ego kicks in, they're brought back to the bad energy or back into those old belief systems.
And this all works for the clients that you work with in relation to their health, too?
Sure, health. Health is if you're not in that proper, you know, body, mind, and spirit, and that for me has been a part of my life, is to live in that place of I take care of myself, I watch what I eat, and I'm not saying you can't have a piece of chocolate cake. I'm saying moderation, then you need to cut down on sugar. You need to really take care of your body to know that what you're putting in is your temple. And on this life we have in this earth, that we need to celebrate it and treat it good.
What are you doing now, Gary? I mean, how do you vibrate, so to speak? And what is your end result that you want? I mean, if someone asked you in your seminar what is missing in your life, what would you say?
Okay, I don't feel there's anything missing. I feel where I'm headed is every day is a new challenge. My end result is that I am a vessel to vibrate energy, information, love, and to, I'm not saying I'm going to be Buddha, but I want to be able to, for me, the high is to see people like Connie, who has changed just in what I had to say or give her that information. So it's not Gary. It's the energy that vibrates for me. It's the living. For me, it's the peace of that part of me that's been given to her through me. And I feel like my end result is to really give people on a worldwide level any support or help that I have to offer. And I'm always there for everybody to really connect. My source of my vibration is I have time for myself where I do exercise, I write, I love to listen to people, and sometimes I just like to walk on the beach. I just like to, you know, whatever that moment calls for, I need to do that. You know, I stopped living my life for other people and started to really say, you know, this is it. This, it doesn't get any better than right now, and we're on Broadway. We're not in rehearsal, mm-hmm. you know. And Broadway, you know, it's opening night, and you know the reviews from Sardi's and all the, you know, trades are going to be reviewing that person or you. You have to show up in your greatness. And every day, no matter, you know, sometimes I don't feel like, you know, oh, wow, everything's wonderful, but I don't go there. I don't give it energy. So I keep moving forward. And then,
but when that happens to you, you just negate it and walk away from that negative feeling.
I don't give it power. I acknowledge it. I say, okay, I'm having a little fear come in because somebody said something. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I said, oh, that's not a good thing to do, Gary. I turned it off after, because all of a sudden I found myself buying into whatever they were talking about in this negative spin. And it took me a good hour to say, I went to the gym. I said, I'm going to go run on the treadmill, or I'm going to go write a poem, or I was writing a chapter from my new book that was all about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found the connecting force to get me out of that, or to translate it, to get it out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So at any moment when you feel that fear or that negative vibe, or that's why you must be so careful who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Because just, you know, the energy that you're around that person, it's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know that until we start to stay away from them for a while and go, that's,
well, you know, the toxic energy in families can be very devastating.
I know. And then you start to feel guilty going, but it's my own family. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in that instance, you need to know that relationships are just an extension of you. And the relationship with yourself is how people view you. So that intimacy or passion that you have towards a person, you're expanding your awareness by saying, I have a boundary here, and I want more joy, I want more peace, I want more happiness. But when I'm around that family member, it comes up. It's like the red light that goes, oh, my God, she sets me off, or he sets me off.
Okay, now when that happens, do you say, try to transform it, or do you say walk away from it?
If you've tried to transform it in the past and it hasn't worked, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know those people on the other side of working with you on the family member isn't willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't convince them. It's not your job. You know, you're not the policeman. You're not Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
You're working on your level. And then people say, oh, isn't that selfish? You just think about yourself.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and that is something people have to learn to not be affected by.
Sure.
Because most everybody is having problems with their family. As the world is in chaos, what it does is really, I think, reflect what has happened at home.
Well, isn't it interesting? Look how it's come back full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the world has stemmed from the family system and belief system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we all got into alignment with that, and everybody out there right now started to, because it's Father's Day or even celebrate Mother's Day, whatever, pull it all together to tell their father or mother or whatever, sister, brother, friend, you know, I acknowledge you for your greatness, and I acknowledge you for being who you are in my life, no matter what, whether it was good or bad. Don't judge it. Just say, you know what? I support you in what you do. That's great. And you move on.
You know, we have this healing and wellness circle, Gary, that goes on right after this show.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to do that, like tonight, they can.
Definitely.
And believing that one person can change the world.
Sure.
You know, just imagine what a collective group can do. So I'm inviting everybody to go come into this wellness circle.
Power
and
prayer.
And work together. Because this collective energy, when two or more are gathered, you know?
Yes.
It's very interesting that if we pray and meditate and kind of energize the harmony that we see?
Well, if everybody took 3 minutes and prayed on peace and just energy, and the whole world would shift.
Mm-hmm.
People say,
"Oh,
that
certainly would."
And
imagine if maybe another thing to do is to get groups of people together.
Sure,
in your
hometown, in your city.
You've got all those people in the room.
Exactly. Imagine 5 people that are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if there's a million people in alignment, how we could change the world.
No question about it. This is wonderful, Gary. Well, good luck with your CD.
Thank you, Shirley.
Where can they find it?
It's available in all stores starting tomorrow. You can go on your website and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get it through www.daybue.com.
How do you spell debut?
daybue.com.
Oh, okay.
And they're a brand new wonderful publishing who they're into all spirituality products of enlightening people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for people like you and listeners who are really making a difference in this world, because where we're supporting our energy, what we support supports us.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy Father's Day and happy Greatness Day, everybody out there. And thank you, Gary, so much for this.
Thank you, Shirley.
Appreciate it. Bless you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.